The Taliban claimed responsibility for an attack today that killed at least 5 people outside a bank not far from the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan. The Taliban suicide bombing followed an overnight airstrike by Afghan security forces that targeted Taliban fighters in western Herat province. This is just the latest violence in the war in Afghanistan, which President Trump recommitted the U.S. to last Monday night.
When I became president, I was given a bad and very complex hand. But I fully knew what I was getting into. Big and intricate problems. But one way or another, these problems will be solved. I'm a problem solver. And in the end, we will win.
In a moment, we're going to take a deep look at what's going on in Afghanistan with Michael Kugelman, Deputy Director of the Asia Program at the Wilson Center. But first, let's go to Afghanistan and the BBC's Persian Afghanistan editor, Zia Shahryar. Zia, when a bombing like the one that happened today in Kabul takes place, is it still unusual or is this just another day in Kabul at this point?
Well, the fact is that it's not unusual at all. It's going on, particularly in 2017. Afghanistan has witnessed the bloodiest and the most fatal year since the U.S. invasion in 2001. We've had quite a lot of attacks around Kabul and a lot of fighting going on in different provinces in Afghanistan. The Taliban are, in a way, getting stronger and controlling more areas than before. So we can say, no, it's not unusual at all.
What is the view of the war in Afghanistan 16 years on, where you are?
The war is going on, although there are a lot of progress in different areas like economy, education, health. But people are tired of the situation. They express a lot of dissatisfaction with the situation, and they are criticizing their government. They are criticizing the U.S. presence that hasn't worked for them the way they wanted. But on the other hand, it's clear that they seem to know that there is no other alternative. The situation, if the U.S. troops withdraw from Afghanistan the next day, it would be probably the Taliban and other insurgent groups fighting in different parts of the country. The Taliban probably will take Kabul. The civilian casualties are quite high. But, they're just putting up with the situation.
How present are the U.S. troops at this point? Now that there are only about 9,000 of them there, maybe there will be more soon, but it's nothing like the, you know, tens of thousands, more than 100,000 that were there before.
In Kabul, you can still see the convoys of U.S. troops and other NATO countries patrolling different streets, and sometimes they are getting attacked. In other provinces, their numbers are very, very low, but politically, it seems they're very present. You can see the U.S. ambassador appearing on local TVs, doing interviews, talking about the new strategy, sort of trying to convince the people that this will work. People are suspicious about the new strategy. They are not sure it will really change a lot of things. The government have been welcoming it, but people are suspicious. They're not sure if it works.
That's Zia Shahryar, who is Afghanistan editor for the BBC, joining us from Kabul. Zia, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
And let's turn now to Michael Kugelman, who is deputy director of the Asia program at the Wilson Center. He's with us from Washington. Michael, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And what did you hear in those comments from Zia in Kabul?
I think it's just very disheartening that after so many years, after almost 16 years, after so many efforts on the battlefield, and after so much money has been thrown into this effort, after so many lost lives, Afghan for sure, and also American, that we simply are not getting to a point where we could be thinking that we can be comfortable with where things are in Afghanistan. And I think it's important that what was stated earlier is that there has been progress. And I think that is an important message, because it seems like everything we hear from Afghanistan these days is a bad news story. But it's true, there has been progress. And if you look at how Afghanistan is now compared to how it was in 2001, early 2001, before the U.S.-led mission began, things are a lot different, right? I mean, the Taliban is no longer in control in Kabul for now. And, you know, women are going to school. Girls are going to school. Women are actually in public sight, as they really weren't during the Taliban years. So things are bad, absolutely. Things could get a lot worse. But quite frankly, I think it's important to keep a proper perspective of how bad things had been some years ago.
But how much is it going to help to send, let's say, an additional 4,000 troops or changing the strategy in the way the president is proposing?
Well, I think that several thousand more U.S. troops certainly will not win the war. As was mentioned earlier, we had more than 100,000 troops in Afghanistan at the height of the troop surge in 2010 and 2011. That didn't win the war. But I think that there can be things that can be done on modest levels. Particularly, I think that having several more thousand U.S. troops in place could enhance the training mission, which is really the main reason why you still have a U.S. military presence in Afghanistan, is to allow the Afghan security forces to do a better job. And I think by having several thousand more troops there, you could do very specific things. For example, you could increase the number of the Afghan special forces. The Afghan special forces are the cream of the crop of the Afghan security forces. They are much more well-trained and effective and efficient than any other unit of the Afghan military. And yet there are only about 12,000 of them. If you send in more U.S. troops to enhance that aspect of the training mission, hopefully you can produce more Afghan special forces. And the other thing that you could look to is that having several thousand more U.S. troops on the ground can try to plug some of the most glaring gaps within the Afghan security forces. And these include things like gathering intelligence. Why have there been so many mass casualty terrorist attacks in supposedly high secure areas of Kabul over the last year or so? You could argue that it's an intelligence failure. The U.S. can try to add to try to improve that type of incapacity right there.
You use the term win the war. I want to listen here to something that the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, said last week after the president's speech on Afghanistan.
I think the president was clear. This entire effort is intended to put pressure on the Taliban to have the Taliban understand you will not win a battlefield victory. We may not win one, but neither will you. And so at some point, we have to come to the negotiating table and find a way to bring this to an end.
When he says that, it doesn't sound like they're even trying to, quote, win the war. They just want to get the Taliban to the table.
Right, which I think is good on some levels, because I really think it's well nigh impossible for this war in Afghanistan to be won militarily. I mean, as I said before, we had 100,000 troops in Afghanistan some time ago, and that didn't win the war. Why should things be different now with, at most, about 11 or 12,000 U.S. troops? I think that we do need to look to the future of having some type of negotiation. But the Taliban will only agree to sit down and talk about resolving this war off the battlefield if it has an incentive to. And so long as it continues to do so well on the battlefield, it's not going to want to step off. And it's as simple as that. I think, for the Taliban, the view is essentially, why quit when you're ahead? Now, I think the Trump administration, what it wants to do is to put enough pressure on the Taliban on the battlefield, not so that the Taliban actually loses, but so that it actually feels vulnerable enough to want to come to the negotiating table. But again, it'll take a lot to get to that point, given how much the Taliban is on the offensive, the fact that it controls a significant amount of territory in the country, not only in its areas of traditional strength, like the south and the east, but also increasingly in the north and in the western parts of the country, where it really had a rather modest presence up to the last few years. So it's a good thing to be looking at the idea of a negotiation, but we're really not there. And I think we need to be taking a very long view. And then if we wanted to be realistic and think that we could have some type of negotiated outcome sometime in the future, it would be very much in the future. It wouldn't be in the next year or two or three, four or five.
The U.S. has been fighting, as we said, in Afghanistan for nearly 16 years. The Soviet Union fought a disastrous war there. Is there something fundamental that the rest of the world just doesn't understand about Afghanistan?
Yeah, I mean, this is a question that we're all trying to figure out. I think that it's very complicated, and there are a lot of factors. There are many observers that would say that those that have been involved in Afghanistan, the Americans and other NATO countries, simply don't understand the country in terms of how it functions, in terms of its history, in terms of the fact that it really does not have a long, deep tradition of central institutions. One of the major things the U.S. has been trying to do over the years is to build up central institutions, whether you're talking about the government or the Afghan security forces, whereas in reality, over time, Afghanistan has been a place marked by a deep emphasis on decentralized areas of influence and authority and tribally based systems of authority. So that's one factor right there. But also, it's just hard. Afghanistan is a very difficult neighborhood, both geographically. The terrain is very difficult. It's very difficult for U.S. forces and its allies to tackle the Taliban in its own territory and its own terrain that it knows so much better than the U.S. and its Western partners. And just the fact that the neighborhood itself is very complicated. You have a lot of countries bordering Afghanistan that have their own policies and their own interests and their own things that they want to do. We know about Pakistan, how it tries to support the actors that tend to threaten U.S. interests in Afghanistan. You also have players like Iran that has a pretty good relationship with the Afghan government, but has also provided support episodically to the Taliban over the years. And now there's evidence that Russia may be doing the same thing. So I think that it's a combination of simply not understanding the country, not having an awareness of its terrain, and just a really complicated neighborhood where you have countries with varying and at times competing interests that just make things very difficult for the United States and its partners there.
That's Michael Kugelman, who is Deputy Director of the Asia Program at the Wilson Center, speaking with us about Afghanistan. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.